hear this every year, but I appreciate the renewal of the charge that we need to experience these things. Amen. In order to prepare for the Summer School of Truth. And actually, I was just thinking of these verses in John 10, where the Lord says that the sheep follow him. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And I was reminded of this because I was thinking about what the brothers were saying about what the young people listen to. When they listen to us, they can tell whether there's hypocrisy or not, right? And of course, all people, when they look at Christians, I think one of the first things that comes to mind is, does that person walk the walk? Or is he just talking the talk? But for our young people are not just detecting that level of hypocrisy. Our young people have life. And so they may not know what they're discerning, but they can discern, does this brother or sister have an experience of life? And they may not realize that. But I think their spirit detects it. And so that's why I'm just impressed. Lord Jesus, these next 61 days, that includes today, I want to experience life in all these different matters and items. Oh, Lord, do this in us. Oh, cause us to have many experiences of life.
We realize that what really helped the young people are the testimonies as we're sharing with them. But to give them the experiential impression of something that we've shared requires some testimonies are the most helpful for them to realize that, oh, that point of truth can be experienced. And so we need to seek, and that's very often when we find that we're so short. In our own experience, we have very little experience or not adequate experience to share with the young people. So we need to ask the Lord. We can ask the Lord to give us these experiences. And I found that actually one thing that will help is also to speak in our daily life whenever we have these experiences. Don't wait until a meeting. You know, this is my shortage. I often, you know, when I think about testimonies, I think giving a testimony in the meetings, but not when I'm with, just one example this morning. I was with we're having breakfast with my daughter and son, and I had a cup of coffee, and I was going to get a refill later on. But then when I was about to get the refill, I had a feeling, no, don't get another cup of coffee. Just let it go. One cup is good enough. So that's what I tell them. But that's actually an experience of following the anointing.
Amen.
Right? It's not a bad thing to have another cup of coffee, but at that time I just have a feeling that don't have that extra cup of coffee. So I followed it. But usually I wouldn't think of just sharing with my children that, you know, I have a sense, and that's why I'm not having another cup of coffee. But I should, right? I think this is another way for us to practice more with our families when we're at work. So I think the point I want to get across, don't just wait until the meeting to share the experiences that you have. But, you know, in this next 61 days, if you have some feelings concerning the experiences of life, share that with your children, with your family, with your coworkers. That may help them, and that will also help you to remember that experience to share with the young people when there's a need.
Saints, I'm just going to share some experience I had when I was seeking fellowship. I went to some brothers for fellowship, and we had a time of prayer, really good fellowship. They told me exactly what I needed to do, and I did it, and it was exactly what I needed. Then I went to the brother who told me several months later about another situation, and I told him, and he told me what to do, and I was so unhappy about it. Because what I wanted was I wanted to be brought into the presence of the Lord. I didn't want to be told what to do at this time. I didn't realize that beforehand, but I just wanted to be brought, and he didn't bring me into the presence of the Lord this time. The first time he did, the second time he didn't. But really what the young people want is they want to be brought into the presence of the Lord. Amen. They want the flow of the Spirit. And then inside they'll know what to do. They don't want to be told what to do. Amen.
This last conference that we had, the Memorial Day conference, I've been going over the outlines every day. And one thing that really touched me yesterday when I was on the train was the basic principle of our service is that all our service must be initiated by God. And there's a point under that Roman numeral that says that the basic prerequisite for us to receive a revelation from God is that we stop our speaking, our view, our opinion, and ourself. This is what is revealed in the book of Job. And I thought about the teacher's training today, and I thought, Lord, when I come here today, I am here to stop my speaking, my view, my opinion, and myself. I'm here to learn how to serve the young people according to God's revelation. And I feel that this morning, I feel like the Lord revealed some things to me so that I would learn to serve by stopping what I think serving the young people is. Primarily, this matter of the testimonies. I feel like it's so true. The young people, they are really mobilized by our experiential testimonies. And without our testimonies, I don't know. I just feel like they don't know how to apply a lot of the things we may teach them. You take something like the sense of life. The sense of life is something that they will take away with them when they have no saints around them, right? That's a very important lesson. But how will they know to discern the sense of life? If you tell them that the sense of life is brightness, is life, is peace, what does that feel like? So when we give them a testimony, I just realized like it's very helpful when we tell them, what is the sense of life like? What is that sense of brightness like? What is that sense of peace like? And by giving them these testimonies, you know, they have a way to go on. So anyway, may the Lord, you know, in this time, really help us to serve according to his revelation.
Amen. I'm just so thankful I'm here today and also feel so short. And then when we learn or we are willing to shepherd other people, we just realize you're so short. And then this time I especially was touched by a brother mentioning we needed to stop and to reevaluate our work. And then one sentence the brother said, the message, the topics are always great. But the way, if we are able to reach to the young people, the brother said, not reaching to young people is not only because of the intensification of the world, but our burden may be lacking. Sometimes when we see certain things, we would be more burdened. But after a while, we feel like we use it to it. Just the children's like that. And then we needed to come to the Lord. And then during this process, we are easily to do a thing. I have to follow these rules to do this. But the Lord is always used the things to reach our heart. So we need to always to recalibrate it. I'm after the thing, the procedure, whatever, all I'm after this young person. And then young people, they know if you care about them or not. They maybe say, I hate you, I don't like this rule, but they know you care about them. So we really needed to love them in with the love of the Lord. And then, and also, I feel very hard to stand up to say something because you feel like you're so short. But also realize that the Lord's goal is not come to expose us, leave us alone. The Lord wants us to be more desperate to come together to the Lord. And then I appreciate the brother's sharing. It's not wait for the 61 days. The summer school serving is a part of our normal life.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on us. Those the brother taught us, we would practice all the time.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers.
I was really impressed with message one, where there was the burden, preparation, adequate experience, and then conveying the experience. So this year would be my fifth year after my graduation from the summer school. And I think I also appreciated how Brother Ricky had mentioned the story or the testimony about the sister who was martyred for the Lord. I remember that from my summer school. And so I know that was one of the things that impressed me a lot when I was that age. And obviously I'm not that much older now, but I realized when I was younger, there was only a certain amount that I could handle. And I think my first year when I came to serve for the summer school, I didn't realize, I felt like I had so much more experience as I grew another year older, but I didn't know how to properly present this experience to the young people. And so I think I blasted them with just truth, knowledge, everything. But didn't meet them where they were, and maybe not met the problems that they were going through, and didn't really experience what they needed at that time. And so I think I also was impressed with this past weekend's Memorial Day conference, how to stop in a proper way. If the Lord leads you to do something, and then also to stop when he needs you to stop. And then also, As my years have progressed after the after my graduation from the summer school, and I keep coming back, I think my burden for the young people has decreased. Where I would come back every year because this is what I was supposed to do as another TA. This is another year for me to come in to help out. But may the Lord increase my burden and increase my appetite for a testimony, that my living could be a testimony and that I can present it to the young people.
Yeah. Man, I was also really convicted by the burden of the summer school. So this will be my second year serving as a TA. And when I was before my first year serving, I didn't come to the teacher's training. So I was serving out of myself, and I didn't really know at all what service really meant. So as a YP, it's easy to see obviously something's going on, but you don't know half of what's going on behind the scenes. So coming in as a TA, I had my own concept of what I was supposed to be doing, and I really, really didn't understand the burden of the service. So in my mind, I was just coming back as an older student with like authority, so I could do things. I would have to go to maybe another meeting for serving one, but I didn't really understand what the service meant. So I didn't see the burden, or even I had been told the burden before reading the ministry books, but I didn't make it my own burden. So because of this, I wasn't practicing the proper way. So my burden was not to impart God into my young people, but to make personal relationships with them. So like I wanted to be their friend. I brought like candy for them. I wanted them to talk to me about things, but I wanted to build that human relationship with them and be like a good TA for them. But the burden really should be that I would impart the life into them. So I want to come back this year with this fresh burden so that I wouldn't be serving out of myself, but I would be serving with a proper burden. I would have the proper way. I was also really touched that to properly serve someone, you have to suffer for them. So yeah, anyone who served last year during summer school, this is our first 10-day straight summer school. And it was it was a lot of suffering. So it was, when we went there, it was such a trial. So the first few days, it was all the excitement. And then the weather got to you, the young people got to you. I was with eighth graders. So there were some things that I was trying to impart to them, they were just not taking it seriously. And because it was coming from myself, I was so frustrated. I wasn't in my spirit. And I was definitely suffering. And I was thinking, like, there's something I'm doing wrong. Like, service for me, my goal was that service would be something fun for me and for them. So I was thinking, like, you know, what's wrong? Why am I not having the life? Why am I suffering like this? But I see now that the suffering is something that's part of the service. So if you're not suffering when you're serving, then you're doing something wrong. I was also, like, frustrated when my YP came to me with harder questions. I was like, you know, don't ask me this. Ask a more mature one. I don't want to sit through this conversation with you. Or they asked to, like, borrow my clothes. I was like, no. But so for these things like this, the suffering, it's something that's part of the service. And by the end of the summer school, I was definitely getting a better idea what the service really meant. But anyways, this year I want to approach my service with a fresh consecration, that I wouldn't be doing this out of myself, but that I would have the proper burden.
I just wanted to affirm what the brothers were saying about how the age, you know, on the one hand, the young people don't necessarily get worse from age to age, but it's for sure that the world system gets worse every 5 years. And it's definitely plumbing new depths. And my wife and I recently, I was telling Brother Ricky about it, we sort of reached this point of exasperation with the sorts of tactics that the enemy's using in the school. But anyways, we have to be in touch with what's going on, and it's easy not to be because we are all busy with our lives. But we do have to be clear about what they face. And at the same time, you know, a number of the folks here have served many times before. 33 summer schools of truth. So, and then, you know, we're all wherever we're at. But I'm hoping that we can hear more some of the common mistakes that we make in trying to reach the young people. I appreciate our sister's honesty about her experience last year. But also, if the brothers could share some of the watch-outs, the common mistakes that we can make in trying to reach these young people. So, praise the Lord.
I really appreciate John 17:19, because I never saw it in this way. And it says, for their sake I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. So this is the Lord speaking that, you know, the Lord is already sanctified, but why is he saying this? And in the footnote, it just says that, you know, for his disciples, he still sanctified himself in his way of living while he was on earth. And I feel like it was just a reminder to me, because many times we're just presented with situations and even opportunities where, you know, what is our reaction? We can be like that tablet that fizzles out, or we can take that experience and gain the Lord and realize that's for the sake of that young person, that we want them to touch life through our experience. And I remember, you know, whenever I asked the young people or even college students, like, hey, how was the meeting? Most of them would say, yeah, it was good, but I wanted to hear more stories. I wanted to hear more experience, more testimonies. And it made me realize that the experiences we have, we should not despise them, because it gives a handle for that young person to touch the Lord. So actually, our experiences are so helpful and encourages them to go on. And I felt like the meetings this morning, like, just beautifully ties in with this week's morning Bible regarding the stewardship and how we need the Word of God completed in us, and also bring every man full grown in Christ. And, you know, every week, you know, whenever it's like a new message, I would always tell the Lord, how can I experience this regarding the stewardship, regarding preaching the gospel, regarding eating the scroll? Like, what is this? But, you know, I must testify, the Lord is faithful. If you open to him, he will give you the experiences you need to minister to that young person. So we just need to be opened. And it just reminded me of Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know, in Hebrews, he says, come forward. You know, he didn't say go forward, but he said come forward, showing that, you know, in order to tell someone to come forward is show that he went through experiences to lead so many to come to where he is. So in a way, how much we open ourselves to the Lord, how desperate we are, depends on how much we allow the Lord to touch us, to experience him in all these things. So we want the young people to advance. We want them to go on. So may we keep touching the Lord and bring them on.
We really need to know the age we're living in and the age our young people are living in. I'm not that old, but when I was growing up, I grew up in an environment where if you do something wrong, God will punish you. And that's what I heard, right? It's not the deepest truth. It's but it at least instilled in me the fact that there is a God and there's a consequence to what we do, right? That's the beginning of something, right? I was just sharing with some of the saints that even in the smallest things, I was talking to my son last night, and this matter of CE and BCE came up, and I had no idea what he was talking about. Because when I grew up, it was before Christ, and AD, which I was reminded last night, is Anno Domini, which is the year of our Lord. How wonderful is that? But our young people have grown up in a time when the world is taking God out of everything, right? So we need to be desperate before the Lord to have the experiences that we need so that our care for the young people is relevant to what they're going through today. And I really appreciated the word from the brothers this morning that we need to not only have an enjoyment and understanding of the word, but we also need to know our young people, know the problems they're facing, and know how to reach them. Amen. May the Lord gain this in 61 days and going forward, that our care for the young people would be relevant to what they're going through. Amen. Some acknowledgement of the momentous event of the birth of the Lord. Right. That's lost here. Schools, when they teach history now, and so on and so forth, it's
just here. That's what they're doing in schools now?
Yeah.
So they use CE, Common Era, and BCE before Common Era.
So we're in the Common Era.
Which
what is the Common Christian?
just to be clear,
that's a Christianity.
But what is the demarcation?
The demarcation. It's not clear to me because I haven't done enough research. It's still the birth of Christ.
Yeah, it's still the same. Yeah. You can't change the topic.
It's still the birth of our Lord, brother.
There's a little example of things we need to know.
Right.
How people are taught. And we just need to know this. And to make a point, what is this? So people are acknowledging that the birth of Christ is the landmark in human history without mentioning Jesus Christ. But they're still acknowledging that it's the landmark. You have to talk about this next time.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
So, like a brother was mentioned, the Lord first he need to impart light into us.
Amen.
That we can impart light to others.
Amen.
And also we need to know him.
Amen.
And I remember a brother say, when you know him, well, I think it was in one of them, no matter what the people say, you know him.
Amen.
So no matter what they say, we know he's real. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I enjoy in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth,
right.
And the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
oh Lord, we know the truth is a person. And recently I was enjoying in the verse in 1 Corinthians 1:30, the because of God we are in Christ Jesus, who become wisdom, sanctification, justification, and redemption. I think I said it the wrong way. Okay. But I wasn't touched because I heard a message related to that verse and say that Jesus become our wisdom. It's not, I mean, that he make us smarter. No, when we need deal with anything, he is our wisdom.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And when we need to deal for anything, he is our righteousness.
Amen.
So, like Brian was mentioned, we need to be free for many things.
Amen.
But when we come to the Lord, he's faithful to shine his light into us, to show us where we are and what we need to apply the blood of. So when we come to him, he's faithful. And to serve the young people like we are learning, see, we exercise our spirit. We come to him, he knows how to meet. We can testify by our experience. He knows how to approach to us. So he also knows how to approach to the young people now, because he is the same and he is faithful. Praise the Lord.
Okay, let's try to finish some of the outlines. And we'll have a break and we'll have the next session. Sorry. Okay, in our where we left off, so the next outline to cover is the clearance of the past and dealing with sins. There are several lessons in our lesson book that have to do with removing the blockages for our growing in life. Not only do we need to receive life, we need to be regenerated, but there are also things from our past that should be cleared up, that we could grow faster. And there are areas that need to be dealt with, sins, the world, the self, and so forth, so that we may grow in life faster. So the first... this is lessons 12 and 13 from your lesson book on clearance of the past and dealing with sins. And the first point here is that we don't have really a scriptural basis for dealing with the past, but we do have very definite examples. So you can write this down if you want to. Luke 19 and Acts 19 are the two major examples. Of course, I think most of you know Luke 19 is Zacchaeus. When Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord, of course, he climbed up the sycamore tree, and the Lord went by that way and recognized, of course, he knew Zacchaeus was there. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today salvation has come to your house. Immediately. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a Jew. And among the Jews, they hated the tax collectors because they were collecting tax for the Roman Empire. They were not, you know, sympathetic to their countrymen. They were robbing them of money and often becoming rich off of that. So everyone hated the tax collectors. Immediately upon meeting the Lord Jesus, Zacchaeus said, half of my wealth, my money, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anybody, cheated anybody, I will restore it to them fourfold. This is a real example of dealing with his past life, dealing with the past. Of course, you know, it's kind of an extreme example, but it's very, very meaningful that when we really touch life, we should want to clear up all the unrighteousness in the past, any problems we had in the past, anything that we've, you know, taken in the past that didn't belong to us, So this lesson talks about these things and the limit of dealing with the past. The second example is Acts 19. There were, in the book of Acts, when Paul came into the city there, there were a lot of people who were practicing witchcraft, and they had books related to witchcraft and idolatry. And when they got saved, they amassed all those books and burned them in front of everyone. They had a big burning to deal with all of those things. And, you know, the amount of money, it's an astronomical amount of money that they, you know, they burned. Those books were valuable, they were expensive, but they didn't care. They just wanted to burn all of that, you know, those things that were evil and were dealing with idolatrous things and idol worship. And so these two examples are examples for this. And then the four categories of things are the unrighteous matters, improper matters, evil and unclean matters, that's related to idols and this kind of things, and the old way of living. And of course, the old way of living, both of these are examples of that. One is related to his being unrighteous. So we need to help them to realize, for us to grow in life. Now, the difficult thing for us serving the young people is that our young people get saved very young. And a lot of them, they kind of, you know, have this, I don't know what the, you know, somewhat, they're somewhat jealous of those who get saved out of the world. You know, they were like drunks in the Bowery or, you know, heroin addicts, and they get saved and now their life changes, you know, and they don't have that experience. Praise the Lord for this, okay. But anyway, you know, they kind of feel like there's not a clear demarcation, you know, because they get saved probably when they're 8, 9, or 10 years old. They get baptized when they're going into the middle school and so forth. We need to help them over this problem. There are still changes when they receive this life. There are still some things they should deal with. And they need to go to the Lord to see what they should deal with. All of them have taken something or borrowed something and they didn't give it back, you know, borrowed a sweater or a shirt or, you know, something, books or shoes, and forgot about who it belonged to. And then, you know, the Lord can shine on that and they should take care of that and bring that back to the person and so forth. Before I came into the church, I've had a job and I needed to borrow a sewing machine to do some work, and I took it back to my apartment, and you know, I had to do some cushions and stuff. So I borrowed the sewing machine and totally forgot, you know, about it. I mean, it took a while to finish that job, and I totally forgot about it. And then I realized, wait a minute, when I came into the church life, one of the first things the Lord shined on was that sewing machine. And it was years later. So I had to write that company. There was a family-owned business, and I wrote them and sent the sewing machine back with money. I put money in there, you know, like, I've been renting it for these, you know, 5 or 6 years, you know. I wanted to deal with it, you know. And it was so sweet. They were Christians, and they wrote back, and they said, wow, what a testimony. The Lord touched you. And it was very, very sweet. It's an opportunity, you know, for the gospel. And so we should help them. You know, it's not going to be $50,000 worth of books, obviously. It's not going to be, you know, that you cheated people out of taxes, but it could be something, and it's still real. And if the Lord touches them, we should try to help them. Then dealing with sins, this is a big thing. We never really graduate from dealing with sins, but we need to deal with them. The scripture is Matthew 5. If you have an offering, you're going up to the feast in Jerusalem as a Jew, you're going to, you know, offer your lamb or whatever you have from the field to the Lord, from your herd, and you remember you have some problem with a brother. It says, first, go and reconcile with your brother and take care of that problem before you go to worship the Lord. So this is a very strong example. We need to help them. Even, you know, coming to the Lord's table, they should consider, you know, if there's any offenses. I mean, even the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You have a problem with your parents, don't even go to sleep before you apologize for that. This is related to dealing with our sins. They should take care of these things. Some things are just before the Lord, so you just confess them. No one, it's not toward a person. But others are toward man, and so you not only need to repent and confess. You need to make, you know, you need to take care of that thing. If you lost it, you need to pay for it. You need to pay with interest for it. If you damaged something, you need to replace it. You need to take care of that problem before mankind. Now, if it's, you know, I mean, I think the lesson book goes into this. If you, you know, if you just have bad thoughts towards somebody, don't go tell them, oh, Ivanhoe, I've been hating you for years, and I just want to repent for that. I mean, if he doesn't know about it, forget it. Just repent to the Lord. You don't need to bring it up to him that, you know, you, whatever, you know, what you're thinking about that person. Okay. We're talking about something, you know, real, like if I took his guitar and I broke it and then I didn't know, you know, something like this. So you want to deal with that. And then these things of dealing, especially with sins, the limit again is life and peace. The goal is always life and peace. So even though maybe all your sins haven't been dealt with, if you have life and peace, you just forget about it and go on. Next week, the Lord will bring something. You know, don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. So that's what we need to take care of in that lesson. Then dealing with the world is lesson 14. We have a whole lesson on dealing with the world because sins are more obvious. The world is not that obvious. Sins, Brother Lee, I think, mentions this like, you know, a filthy garment that's been stained, you know. But the world is like a t-shirt with, you know, beautiful artwork on it and it looks wonderful, but it's not pure. It's not pure white. It still has. So the world is harder to recognize. The things in the world that are very good, they still are the world. The difference is that sin defiles us, but the world occupies us. And this is what Satan's strategy is. It's to fill our time with the video games or with this. It's not that the video games in themselves are evil. Many of them are not evil. There are probably some that are evil, but, you know, many of them are not. But I know with the parents, we always feel like, oh, video games are all terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. Well, the world occupies our young people, and we need to help them not to be usurped by that occupation. But it's not in itself evil. You know, not all, you know, video games or things are evil. The point we need to make with them is, you know, are we so consumed with them and occupied with them that that's what we think about all the time? That is how Satan wants to distract us by the world. And the world has so many compartments and so many things. It's, you know, there is something for every person. You know, we talk about video games for some. Some of the young people have no interest in video games. Yet, you know, they are so occupied with Chopin and Tchaikovsky and, you know, classical music that that's all they think about. It's still occupying them. It's still something of the world is occupying them. Or, you know, they're so involved with their studies that they just, you know, they've got, if they get an A minus, they just beat themselves up. You know, it just occupies them. Now, they should get good grades. We encourage them. They should study hard and do their best. But if it occupies you and distracts you from your love for the Lord and from your time with the Lord, then it could be the world. So we need to help them to deal with the world. In this lesson, it gives us a definition of the world. This something that contaminates and possesses us. Gives us this word cosmos, a form, an orderly arrangement, an ordered system set up by Satan. I don't think we need to spend any time on the formation of the world. Let them read it in the lesson book. It's very interesting, but it can be also take you away from what you want to infuse them with. Recently, we have been covering the matter of these isms, beginning with atheism. This is an aspect of the world and something that they are facing in high school, facing in college, even what Ivanhoe mentioned, even the grade school kids are facing this kind of thing. All of these, out of atheism comes amoralism, which means there's no morality, comes no God, this is no God, try to take God out of everything, and liberalism and even the homosexualism and all these things are philosophies of man, are isms in this age that our young people are being bombarded with. And the intellectual atmosphere in the schools especially the universities, but I think even in the high schools, is so strong they cannot, it's just very hard not to be affected by it. And, even we've seen this in this recent election. I mean, if you're active on social media, you realize how many of our young people are totally swept away by the media, totally affected by the media. Whatever the media says is like the gospel. I mean, come on. It's really striking to me. So we're fighting against this. So we need to pray that the Lord would deal with the world and these isms of the world. I mean, it's not that we're, it's not that we're being political. I'm not for any one candidate or not for one candidate. I'm for praying that the Lord would put in office whomever he wants to put in office, whenever he wants to put them in office, and then we respect the office. I mean, that to me is scriptural. We need to pray for our leaders and be scriptural, But then to be so bent out of shape like the rest of the world that the one we were, hoping would get in there didn't get in there. I mean, it really is eye-opening to realize how much, our young people and even our young adults are affected by this age. I was in getting a cup of tea at Starbucks the other day. You know, you have those billboards in grocery stores and Starbucks where they're announcing things. That whole board was on the LGBT, on the homosexual. They're having some kind of big event. And then another one was protesting against Trump, and we're all going to get up, and all these people is going to, these rock stars are going to be there, and then these speakers, and we're going to protest again. I mean, the whole thing was anti-God. Everything on that board was just anti-God. And I thought, wow, here we really hit the bottom. So, we need to help them to be saved. So, in this lesson, talks about baptism, that the world is dead to us. We should, our baptism is crucial. And then the world in our daily living consists of all the things which usurp the place of God. Things that we love more than the Lord become the world to us. The basis, again, of dealing with it is based on the sense of life, and the extent is life and peace. And the practices, how to deal with the world, is 1 John 2, right? Not love the world. Do not love the world. Those who love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, so we need to help them. With John 2, 15 and 16, then, of course, that verse also tells us all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That definition in John 2:16 is quite inclusive. So it's not just things. It's things that usurp us and cause us not to love the Lord. So we have a life in us, 1 John 5:4. We have a life, the divine life in us, overcame the world already. Amen. And overcomes the world in our experience. Amen. Right? If we will just turn to the Lord and spend time with the Lord, that is our way of overcoming the world. Now, this is a very crucial lesson. Lessons 8 and 9 are combined in our outlines, and that is consecration. It's very important for this time and this situation with our young people, and preserving our whole being for life. This is a very crucial lesson. First of all, consecration. It gives some details of consecration. I feel this is an opportunity to help our young people spend some time with the Lord and to reconsecrate themselves, to spend some time and give themselves to the Lord afresh, to have kind of a new start, a new beginning. And the environment of our summer school now being 10 days really affords an opportunity for this, because they really touch the Lord after a few days. They kind of, all the cobwebs get blown out, and they're wide open, they're really wide open. So when we share on consecration, we want to give them some time to open to the Lord and to spend some time to consecrate. This may not be combined, we'll see, We have 10 outlines, and we have, 15 sessions. So, you know, it may be that we can use consecration for one, and maybe preserving our whole being for life is another. Anyway, however the brothers decide, it's okay. The basis is God's purchase. Why? Why do we consecrate ourselves to the Lord? Because He has bought us. He has bought us with the precious blood. We belong to Him. This is not kind of an option. I want to, I don't want to. Wait a minute. He bought you, okay? So you need to give yourself to Him. And the motive, of course, is the love of God. So 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, the love of God constrains us that we would no longer live to ourselves but to Him who died for us. So we need to help them to touch the love of God, to realize that God loved us so much that He died for us, gave Himself up for us, that He could give us life. And so this is the motive, to touch their heart. The meaning is to be a sacrifice. The purpose is to serve the Lord, to be used by the Lord. And the result is to abandon our future. Actually, I think Brother Lee says in the experience of life, the result is ashes. Mm-hmm. Which means that, you know, we don't have... Our ambition is not to be somebody in the world. Our ambition is to be a member in the body of Christ. And yes, we have a job, and yes, we do. You know, we may have a career, that's fine. But that's not our goal. Our goal is the Lord's body, to be building up the body of Christ. So these are a couple of the points. Then, preserving our whole being for life. Let's all turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:4. Amen. Let's read it together. That each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. This is related to our possessing and being our vessel, being preserved for the matter of life. Then turn a couple pages to chapter 5, verse 23. And the God of peace, self, sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's salvation, He is saving our entire being. Spirit, soul, and body. So we need to pay attention to this. We need to know how to possess our vessel so that our vessel is not damaged, so that it takes more for the Lord to, you know, to save that. It's, you know, particularly our body with drugs and alcohol and fornication, these things. These are very damaging to our physical body. And some of these things that damage our body cannot be reversed. And so we have to help them. They need to learn how to possess their own vessel in sanctification and honor. This is very crucial, especially in this evil age. They're even in the high schools today, it's a terrible environment. And there's all kinds of things the enemy is trying to do to damage their body, to damage their vessel. And our vessel is for the Lord, so we need to learn how to preserve it. And, these things are obvious, you know, with alcohol and drugs and so forth, fornication, these are more obvious. But eventually, even our mind, the isms, the concepts that we take in, and that the world tries to do, it tries to, that's the brainwashing. That's the real brainwashing, right? To kind of change your thought, your concept, so that you view the world in a certain way, you view people in a certain way. We need to preserve our mind. And our mind needs to be renewed. This is an aspect of God's full salvation, right? The organic salvation, not only to regenerate our spirit, but to transform our soul, renew our mind, renew our emotion, renew our will. You know, in this lesson, these three parts are very crucial. Even to talk about our spirit, our conscience, intuition, and the fellowship, we need to exercise our spirit, mm-hmm. right? Mainly for fellowship with God. We need to practice to have a good conscience. We need to practice to follow the anointing. This is the intuition. And we need to practice having fellowship with the Lord, prayer and asking Him things, talking to Him. That makes our spirit strong. And by doing that, what? Our mind is being renewed, Amen. Right? By beholding and reflecting Him, we are being transformed. We shouldn't be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Because our mind is bombarded with so many things. Even now in grade school, this kind of thing. Bombarded with these things. So we need to help them to preserve their vessel for life. That is for the Lord's purpose. And then our will. This is quite something, you know. Naturally speaking, all of us are rebellious. We just want to be different. We want to rebel against our parents. We want to rebel against everything. It's just, that's just, you know. We have streets and avenues in New York City named after rebels. Think about it. They rebelled against their country. Now they have a whole avenue named for them. Actually, our country is a country of rebels, right? We uplift the rebels. We just uplift them. And we, you know, exalt them. And it's just part of the fallen human nature. Satan is the original rebellious one, right? So we have this kind of nature in our flesh. We have to be exercised. So we have to be careful. Even our will needs to be subdued by the Lord in His salvation. Our mind, our emotion, our will, all the parts of our soul. And we need to preserve our vessel for this, right? For this life aspect, the organic aspect of God's salvation. We need to take care of them. This lesson talks about our psychological heart and the three arteries of the psychological heart, the mind, will, and emotion. And so this is where it comes in, like we need to confess for being rebellious and not obeying the Lord when He asks us to do something or asks us not to do something. We need to confess what we're loving that the Lord hates and what we don't love that the Lord loves. These are all the psychological arteries of our heart. And this is very much of our preserving our whole being for life. We need to, our heart needs to be pure, right? Blessed are the pure in heart. So we need to take care of these matters. The last point in this outline is to preserve our body first requires that we do not live according to our soul. To preserve our body also requires that we not present any member of our body to anything that is sinful. As long as we're living on the earth, we need to preserve our body. So there, these verses, we read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, but, you know, we need to flee youthful lusts with those who call on the Lord, right? So that we wouldn't be involved in some of these things. You know, this is, to me, this is a very crucial lesson in light of our, you know, recently we had this tragedy in Virginia, one of the young people took his own life. And I think these lessons to me now have enormous meaning that we could help our young people. And we need to be very exercised because I was talking to one of our medical doctors after that tragedy happened, and he said the teenage depression is extremely hard to diagnose. It doesn't look like what we think depression looks like. I mean, my concept of depression is, you know, somebody moping all the time, doesn't want to do anything, just kind of hibernate. It's not like that. It's very hard for the medical profession to diagnose. It's very difficult. So we need to be exercised. I believe, and I mean, I don't know, the brothers can temper this or correct me, but I believe the more we pray for them, one by one, name by name, those who are under our care, the more we pray for them. If there's anything going on, I believe the Lord would alert you somehow. You'd have some feeling. You need to spend more time with this one. You need to have them over. You need to invite them over. And you know, they need companions, some their own age. We cover this in these lessons. But they also need other mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles. You know, they need some older ones that they can open up to. Maybe many things they wouldn't talk to their parents about, because unfortunately, as a parent, I can speak, we're just not tolerant of some of the things that they're thinking about and want to do. So if they would tell us, we just kind of shut them down and, you know, and yell at them or something. That doesn't help. They're not going to open to us if we're not, you know, if we're not open to them, how are they open to us? So sometimes it's not, you know, sometimes I need my kids to go to Timothy and talk. Or I need my kids to go to Ivanhoe and spend time with them. And maybe they can have a way, you know, to find out. But these are very serious things. And our kids are not immune, you know, to their, you know, to depression or feeling, you know, feeling inferior or whatever they're passing through. A lot of emotions going on in the teenage years. So we need to pray for them. And I think we need to have more specific shepherding of them, get to know them better. And, you know, if anything kind of comes up, then you may have to say something to deal with, you know, to help them and try to help them get the proper care that they need. Anyway, this is related to preserving their vessel for life. Nothing opens them like love. You have to love them. And in my experience, the way to love a 15-year-old boy is to pray for him. Because you call them and they, yeah, what are you doing? Nothing. How was your day? Okay. There's no conversation, okay? But the more you pray for them, the more you love them, you keep calling them, then eventually they start to, open up and they'll pray with you, you know. And we have saints sitting in this room who called young people, like these kind of young brothers, you know, for, you know, 4 or 5 years in a row, they never pick up the phone. But after 5 years, they pick up the phone, and that brother says, "Praise the Lord, you got your Bible? Let's read a verse." I mean, it's like, like they've been calling and talking to each other every day. That's love. And that young person knows that's love. They know who's calling. And they know they haven't picked up in years. But one day, they just think, oh, I'm going to answer the phone. And they do. So, that helps. Amen. Amen. Well, the last outline that we have is covering lesson 18 and 24. Building up of the body of Christ in oneness and having a normal church life. Of course, life is for the body. Life is for the church. We saw that in this recent conference. We need to know life and the church. Life is for the building up of the church. So we do have this lesson on the building up of the body, lesson 18. The church is an organism. It is a matter of life. It is not an organization. And we function in life. And we feed each other life. And we feast on life together. The church is life issues in the church, in the building up of the body of Christ. So now we have received this life. Not only we were regenerated and we have the life of God and we become children of God, we are now members of the body of Christ. We are members one of another. Not only we're related to God in life and we've received Him as life, we're related to each other in life. We're really brothers and sisters. Amen. It's real. It's not just we call each other brothers and sisters, you know. We are really brothers. We have the same Father. And so we're related. So we need to care for one another. Of course, it gives us some, after this point about organism, it mentions some ways to build up the body. We need to preach the gospel. We need to grow in life for the body. We must be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Very important for the building up of the body. And we need to perfect one another in order to build up the body and function to the extent that we have been perfected. So all of our young people, they are believers, they are members. They have a portion. Amen. They can function. They can serve in the body. And we need to help them. And in fact, one of the best ways for them to feel like the church is theirs and not just their parents, you know, daddy's church or whatever, is for them to feel needed and to be needed, really to be needed. So you bring them into the service, whether they're serving on the children or with the music or with ushering or in cleaning. Anyway, whatever service group they can get with and get on, that helps them become related to saints not their own age and to get to know how precious the saints are. And it really is a big help. So usually in applying this point about the building, we help them to get into the service. And that is a big, big, big help to help them to serve. Then we need to help them have a normal church life. The first point in this when we talk to the young people is companions. They need to be with some spiritual companions. And they've grown up with a lot of, you know, brothers and sisters their own age, but they may not yet be real spiritual companions. So we need to help them to make that transition or help to add that to their relationship with the ones who they're close to. And basically that means that you would feel comfortable to pray with the one you're close to if you have some need. And to pray for your family situation. You know, many of our young people, the parents go through different things. Maybe dad lost his job. It's good to pray with somebody. And if they have a companion in the church life that they can pray with, that's a spiritual companion. Maybe they can read the word with them. But they need to be, find someone that they can flee the youthful lust with and pursue righteousness, faith, love, you know, peace with those who call on the Lord. So this is the first need in the church life is to have companions. And actually, brothers and sisters, we need companions. We all need companions. So it's not we're telling them to have, you know, a relationship that we do. We also need companions. Then it talks about preaching the gospel to carry out God's economy in life. And then we need to grow in life after they're baptized and saved. They need to long for the guileless milk of the word. This is a normal church life, right? And to be fed with the milk of the word that they may grow unto salvation. And then to be established in the faith. And the final step is to learn to prophesy in the church meetings. So it's really related to, it's the matter of service can be brought in to this lesson as well. It's really related to, you know, to their enjoying the Lord, to their growing in the Lord, and to their serving together in the church life. So those are the highlights of the lesson book on life. Amen.
I'd like to add a few things to help in your preparation. Firstly, I know that most of you do not have the lesson book with you, but I'd like to relate these points in the outlines that Brother Dennis mentioned. Let's see if this erases. Yeah. To the lessons in the book. He actually mentioned as he was going along, but I'm not sure you all caught that. So maybe we'll do this way. There are 10 outlines. You can go here to get them. S-S-T teachers training. www.clearingthefaith.org. And on the right, there'll be a banner that says Level 4. Okay? So you go to there, and you'll look up Level 4. And I think it has the outlines in one file, and then each of the 10 outlines separately that you could look at. But just so that you know what they are, the first outline, that's our outline, this is outline number, is combining lessons 1 and 2 in the blue book, right? The pink, yeah, this one, this pink book, red book. Pink or red, what do you say? Anyway, so that's on life, the divine life, eternal and divine eternal life, and then life being a person, that's combined. Okay, then we jump to 20 and 21, because these lessons are they deal with practice, 20 and 21. And in the summer school, we don't want to wait to help them with the practice, because we're going to be here together for the 10 days. And the very first or second day, we want to introduce some of the practices so that we can practice together and hone those practices, right? So this is on calling the Lord and prayer reading and so on. I want to say something specific about this a little bit later. Then I think it's 3 and 4 are combined. This is on the law of life and the light of life. The law of life and the light of life. Then 5 and 6 are combined. This is on the growth in life and the experience of life. And that's combined. Is that right?
Yeah. Normal Christian life is also in that outline.
Yeah. Which one?
The growth in life and experience and living a normal Christian life is in.
Oh, okay. So it's and 24. Yeah. That's really a stretch. That's because we only had the 10 days. We don't need to do this anymore because we have longer time. And then number five and probably number 6 are kind of a set. And because this is 7A, that is the first half of lesson 7, and 10A. And then this outline is 7B, we call it, and 10B. So this is really on the sense of life and the fellowship of life, which in the book is one lesson, lesson 7. And then lesson 10 is on the anointing. On the anointing. So, because the anointing is very connected with the sense of life. Right? Anointing is very connected with the sense of life. Sorry. I put a circle here. I shouldn't have put a circle here. To be consistent. That's outline 6. Then, outline 7 begins the dealings.
Right?
What numbers?
12 and 13.
So that's clearing the past and then dealing with sins. And then outline 8 is on dealing with the world. That's standalone. That's number 14. Nearly the only one. Then number 9 is on preserving, it's consecration, which is number 8, and then preserving our whole being for life, number 9. And then the final outline is a combination of 18 and 24. Okay, so those are the lessons that correspond to the outlines, and that's what you find in the book. But since we have more time, I really hope that we would spend more time on also to cover number 17. 17. 17 is on two kinds of fruit of the divine life, and also number 22, which is on speaking. And my point is that we have to talk about the gospel. We have to talk about the gospel as an issue of the divine life. Because we do know this principle, that anyone who doesn't let life flow cannot enjoy the Lord.
Right.
If you don't let the Lord flow through you, if you stay in selfish pursuit, and it's all just for you, eventually you become like the Dead Sea. The riches flow in and nothing flows out. We have to at least care for people. When we care for others, life flows more. Then we can be happy. It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's the basic principle. And that has many applications, not just helping people, not just finance, but also the gospel, also serving the children, also practical service in the church. Where's Eric? Yeah, Eric. Eric's here. Yo, Eric. Hey, brother. Eric was just telling me at our break time when he, last week, he had a lot to do. Yeah. That's why we're all so tired. We all had a lot to do last week in that conference. But he was telling me, you used the word ownership. That was very interesting. He said, I took ownership of that conference. Because he served so much. I told him, what did you serve in? Because I saw you one day, I saw you another day. He said, transportation. What else was the other thing? Ushering? Children, sorry. I thought, he's doing so much. But a lot of us were doing much. But it's never been a more enjoyable conference.
Amen.
I was talking to the LSM saints the last day. They said, how are you doing? They asked me.
I didn't get that.
Okay. I'll say it again. They asked, how are you doing? I said, I don't know if I want to explode with joy or drop from exhaustion or both at the same time. I'm so happy. I'm still so happy.
Amen.
And I'm still so tired too. but when you enjoy, I mean, when you bear the responsibility and are for others, the Lord flows to match the demand, to match the responsibility. That's the way it is. And one reason why saints, and now specifically our second generation, don't enjoy, or don't have, it's not that they don't enjoy, many don't have sustained enjoyment, is because they don't enter into proper responsibility. But don't blame them. That a great part is because we have not helped them come into proper responsibility, because we don't trust them to do things. Even in the summer school, I've seen this. Even in the summer school, there are times in the past years, in the afternoon, you know how we have the afternoon fellowship? We meet with the serving ones in the morning at 8:30 or so, something like that. Well, when we're here, we meet at 6:30. Praise the Lord for that. We have a longer time. We used to meet at the meeting hall at 8:30. And then we have an afternoon fellowship. And it doesn't happen as much now because we're here. But when we were in Franklin and when we were in New York, it would happen that when we're in Franklin, many New Jersey saints would like be in the morning and then leave for whatever, whether it's work or other things. Then come back for evening, and they miss the most important time. Afternoon, spending time with them, and a group time. And I know, I understand. And we all appreciate whatever time you give. We're really not criticizing. But we are criticizing. Yeah. What I mean is we're critiquing. Not with a evil spirit, not with a negative spirit, but for learning. But that shows some of the saints only have a meeting concept. Meeting, because it's important for you to be in the meeting. That's what I think. Then go to work or run errands or do this or that. And of course, again, we understand. We're not talking about any particular person. But the group time is the most important part. For you to sit with them in the meeting actually counts very little. For you to be with them in the group time counts very much. Okay, but anyway, in the afternoon. And this also happened. I'm not picking on the New Jersey Saints, because it happened in New York. Yeah, just as much. Saints come, and then the afternoon go. And then some serving sister would say, "Is there anyone that can cover my group?" And we say, "What group are you in?" They say, "Group 10. So we look at our list. And then we see, Hannah's in the group. Oh, Susan's in the group. And then we say, but no one's going to be there. That's the way they say. No one's covering my group. That's because two college girls are there. And they actually said in public, there's no one in my group. And I'm thinking, how disrespectful. They don't count for anything. And they're thinking, they're young. But sorry, actually, they could be better than you. I'm not saying they are. Don't get proud. But they could be, actually, in some cases. But older ones, you have to think in those terms. And you think, can they do it? Can they handle? Come on, 45 minutes, they can't handle a group of young people after 2-3 days? Now, yes, that's probably true. Not everyone can handle. But many of them can handle. And let them, it's covered. They can't make too big a mistake. They probably make a mistake. It's not too big. They're not going to damage the young people that much. You could let them, let the baby birds fly. You understand my funny talk? Kick them out. Let them learn. And sometimes I heard the testimonies from the young people. Those were the best times. When? When the older ones were not. Now, older saints, don't get discouraged and don't be subjective and don't say, then I won't come. That's not what I mean. What I mean is perfect. Serve with them. Serve with them. Mentor them. But don't suffocate them. Give them room. Give them room to function and help them to thrive. Don't feel bad if you don't say anything. Some of the older saints, sorry, we're too used to functioning. And we're going to say something about the cross maybe later. Sometimes you have to bear the cross just to be quiet. And let the others function. That's how they learn. And also, the young people themselves might get quite a lot from them. But you're there, like the mama bird. Your wings are there, covering them. And you're praying for them. You're not in rivalry with them. We're not in rivalry with the ones we serve with. When's my chance? Finish already. Amen. Yeah, amen. So that I can get... No. I'd be quite happy to let others function. I think last time we had, I think it was 18 brothers to give messages. Is that the number? Last summer school, 18 brothers gave messages. I was so happy, maybe with this point, more than nearly anything in the summer school. I only gave one message to the older and one to the younger. That was wonderful. Of course, I spoke in some, I think, two combined meetings. But to let the opportunity for others, especially the younger brothers, to learn and to develop and to be perfected and to thrive, that we need that. And when you do that, when they do that, they take ownership. Then the church life is theirs. That's part of our lack. It's even in the local level, we should try to put people to work. When they have something to do, they show up. Of course, we should try to train them to do it well, to do it the best. I don't mean sloppily hand it over and then walk away, no responsibility. No, actually, if they fail, then you should have the feeling, that's my responsibility. It's not that, Caleb, that young brother doesn't know what to do. No, if he fails, it's because I didn't set him up to succeed. And it's still my responsibility over that. Anyway, the gospel and then these lessons on the church life, 24. This is the issue, the gospel and the church. And really, church life. They have to enter into the church life. That's the issue of the divine life. So anyway, I want you to know which lessons to focus on and to study more, right? But I'd also like to put this in kind of a perspective, the whole thing, maybe for our to help our understanding. And this is also partly in the book. But well, let me pick up some of these points first. This is from last week's conference. Okay. The thought, this is from outline one. The thought of the triune God being life to the tripartite man runs through the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So the thought of life, God is life. The triune God is life to the tripartite man runs through the whole Bible. So what does that mean? That means this topic that we're studying is one of the main, key, central, focal points of the whole Bible. From the first page of the first book to the last page of the last book, life. So if you know this, you know the Bible. If you know this, you know God. You know God. And you know what's on God's heart. And you know what God is doing. What is he doing? He's dispensing himself as life. That's what it's all about. And so, the first point in this same outline is the purpose of the ages. Dear saints, this is the purpose of the ages. And I think many of us were touched with this when this was shared in the conference. 2 Timothy 1:9, where Paul says to Timothy, you have closely followed my purpose. And this is quite a statement that Paul in Ephesians talks about the purpose of the ages, the eternal purpose. But here, when he's talking to Timothy, remember, when Paul wrote this, I don't think he had the thought that all Christians throughout all the ages would be reading his personal letter. It's kind of like, oh, this is his personal letter to his... It's like, I would write a letter to Dean. I wrote him an email. And then, next conference, everybody read my letter. How would I feel like that? I said, Dean, why did you let them read it? And I don't know how they got a hold of it. Not they, we. It's in our Bible now. But it was a letter just to him. And he was telling Timothy, Timothy, you have closely followed my purpose. So that means that that purpose of the ages became Paul's purpose. And then became something for Timothy to follow. That's what we want. We want the purpose of the ages. Firstly, to become my purpose. And then that they can say, this is my purpose. We have been presenting God's eternal purpose for decades. But how many of the young people, how many of our children can now say, this is my purpose? That's the evaluation. If they haven't done that, then that's our grade. Do you get what I'm saying? If this purpose that we present year after year after year, it's not just a motto. Oh, yes, we begin every conference, every training with Genesis 1:26, and, you know, we're known for this. Doesn't mean anything unless it's my purpose. Unless they say, this is my purpose. I just feel this is something we can pray for. Then in outline two, Christ, this is the first point, Christ as life is the reality of the tree of life, which is the center of the universe. What does this mean, saints? This means that life, what we're talking about, is the center of the universe. Amen. If you know this, you know the meaning of the universe. Then our life is not vain. How many of our children, of our young people, of our next generation have internalized this? That's what we want. And then, also outlined too, we need to see the obstacles that God's life encounters in man. So we need to realize the obstacles so that we can help them remove those obstacles so life can be effective in them. And then we need to equip them with the view and the skill to overcome those obstacles. So this concerning life, and it mentions this in the first lesson in the book. I'd like to show you three different points regarding life. Okay. Firstly, we have the experiences of life. The experiences that I... Sorry. That eye doesn't belong there. The experiences. Then we need the dealings of life. And along with these, we have the practices of life. There are life practices. I'm concerned that we've only helped some young people know life practices without entering into life experiences. And surely if we never guide them into the dealings, the experiences cannot be maintained. And the practices will be hollow. It's like having an empty spoon. You know, my granddaughter is learning to eat with a fork and a spoon. So last night, picked up the food and then put it in. But in doing that, the spoon turned sideways, actually. And by the time it got home, there was nothing left on the spoon. So nothing. So you end up what? Still hungry. So I did what you said, but I get nothing. That could be our small groups. They do what we say, but we don't watch to make sure the food gets in. Or we just give them the spoon. Here, you're equipped. Now go. And you don't know. Every day they're and getting nothing. No wonder after some time they say, doesn't work. But when they come to the meeting, you're all so happy about how it works. I guess it must be me. I guess maybe God just doesn't love me. You think no one ever came to such a conclusion? That, forget it. So, we need all three. We need all the positive experiences of regeneration, of the anointing, so many things. And these, the life experiences, actually are very much tied to the exercise of the three functions of our spirit. And that is conscience, fellowship, and intuition. You know, here, actually, if you follow, this is the sense of life in Lesson 7, and the anointing, that's the intuition of the Spirit. Then there's a lesson on the fellowship. Of course, that's the fellowship of the Spirit. Then there's a lesson on dealings with sin and the world. That's the conscience of the Spirit. Actually, what we're doing in these lessons here are developing the exercise of the Spirit. We need to tie that together. But with the help of the life practices in outline 2, calling, pray reading. If you only teach them to pray read, but you don't help them in the other things, then it's this. Empty and hollow. So I hope that, sorry, we don't have a bigger board where we could have the words on each lesson, but I hope that helps you a little bit. Amen. Do you have anything to respond? We're going to go till 3:30. Any fellowship?
of our spirit. There's the intuition, which is the anointing, you know. When the Lord is moving in us, then we have the sense. We have the feeling. And also concerning the conscience, which is dealing with sins and dealing with the world. You know, that's, you know, we should have some feeling, or the young ones should have some feeling when there's something they did, and the, any kind of uneasiness, which is from the conscience, in remove all the hindrances. We also mentioned in message 20 is concerning the maintenance or the practices, you know, concerning the calling, concerning the prayer reading. These two, I would say, has very much to do with our fellowship with the Lord. Calling is not just calling on the Lord, you know, that you're just feeling something. But calling is really to bring us into a fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
If you call anyone, what's the purpose of calling Dean, 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 Dean? What's afterwards, right? I want to talk to him. So the calling is really to bring us into a kind of fellowship with the Lord. And the prayer reading is also. Prayer reading is it's not just pray, but also you read. When we pray, we speak to the Lord. When we read, the Lord speaks to us. You know, the word is the God's word, right? You know. So all these are very much related. In fact, the word, when we say pray reading the word, the word is referring to the word of God, of course. It's God's word. The word is also the word of Christ. And the word is also the spirit. The spirit is the word. And the word is also the written word, the Bible.
Amen.
And the word is also the speaking word, God speaking to us. So all this are for us to bring us into the fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
And this fellowship with the Lord, in fact, is life in action. It's the flow of life, which is the fellowship. I just feel that in this session, we're going over some of the lessons and some of the practical helps for us as serving one to get prepared. It's very good, you know,
Amen.
To have the proper view concerning both for ourselves and also for all the young ones.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe we can have some prayers.